Proverbs tonight, I thought about doing sword drills because we're going to be through the book of Proverbs. So if you're young and you want to do that as we give you the references, you can. We'll see how you do. But I want to bring really a challenge tonight to the young people. The young people, our youth here, are going to camp. Last week was Father's Day, and you know, we as a church recognized our fathers and gave them a gift, and hopefully you did something for your father. This week, our kids are heading off to camp, and I'm hoping tonight to give them some thoughts and preparation to start their week off right, to kind of launch them into this week in the right pattern and taking the right steps. Most of tonight's thoughts will come from the book of Proverbs, as this is a book that was written to the young man. You can turn to Proverbs chapter 10, and we'll be looking in Proverbs chapter 10 in a moment. But Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 4, is, well, verse number 1 through 4, he talks about who this book is written to, and to Solomon, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. This book was written to the young and really geared towards helping them in their life. But in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 1, read it aloud with me. The Bible says here, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. A wise son maketh a glad father. Tonight's message is entitled, A Glad Father, a glad father. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the thrill that we have to call you Lord. The joy it is ours to gather in your house and sing songs to you, to be strengthened spiritually by one another's presence and encouraging words, to hold in our lap the very word of God and to be challenged spiritually from it. I pray, God, you would guide through the remainder of the service tonight, that you would speak to our hearts, that the young would be challenged and the old alike, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Although this message tonight is to the young people, somebody told me you're only as old as you feel, so I think this is applicable to all of us, because we're all young at heart, amen? We all can benefit from the Word of God, regardless of the direction of the message, although this is really going to be geared towards the youth tonight. Proverbs chapter 15, in verse number 20, we find a very similar verse. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. We, right now, tonight, I want to start the week off right for the young people. Hopefully, a week of life-changing decisions for them. As we read here in Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 1, and Proverbs 15, verse number 20, that a wise son maketh a glad father. So if a wise son maketh a glad father, then what should the question be for anybody who has a father? Let's use some deductive reasoning. Let's put your brains in gear. What should the question be if a wise son maketh a glad father, then, come on now, what makes a wise son? Don't you understand, we would want to make our father glad, right? I think that anybody here, everybody here, regardless of what your father is or isn't in your life, you ought to have a desire in your heart to make your father glad. You say, but my father didn't. He's still your father. He's still your father, and you ought to desire to make him glad. It ought to be the desire of our heart to have a glad father. We ought to want to see him happy. We ought to want to see him pleased with us as a child. You know, let me just throw this out. I don't know how much I'll hit on it throughout the message, but we all have a heavenly father. And we ought to all desire to see our heavenly father glad. Amen? We ought to all desire that, but even our earthly fathers, regardless of how you as a child feel that they performed, You know, God never said, honor thy mother and thy father if you feel they deserve it. That's not in the book. The command is to honor your mother and your father. You know, you will be blessed for doing so. Maybe you have a legitimate gripe. I highly doubt it. But maybe you have a legitimate gripe and your dad or your mom did not perform up to what should be the standard of a mom or dad. Do you know that you're still going to stand before God as an individual, young man, young lady? And you're not going to be able to look at God and say, well, my dad, not going to matter. Because God's commands were written to you. And you are supposed to fulfill and obey God as an individual. And God's going to bless you for doing it, even if your mom and dad aren't what you think they should be. Right? We ought to want to make our father glad. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, Proverbs 29:30. It causes a father to rejoice when we love wisdom. Now, wisdom is knowledge and understanding equals wisdom. The knowledge, understanding how to use it, and putting it into practice, that's wisdom. And when we get wisdom and we use it, it makes our father rejoice, the Bible says. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The Lord gives wisdom. Wisdom causes the father to rejoice. A wise son maketh a glad father. So what makes a wise son? Let's look at the book of Proverbs and see what makes a wise son. First of all, a wise son is obedient. A wise son is going to be obedient. Proverbs 28, verse number 7, charge. Who's got it? All right, read it out loud, Eli. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. A wise son, if you keep the law, a young man, a young lady, you're wise if you keep the law. We keep God's law, but what about the law of mom and dad? What about mom and dad's law? You know, mom and dad has said, you need to do this. You're not supposed to go there. You're not supposed to talk to this person on the phone. You're not supposed to be on the internet. You're not supposed to participate in this activity. And you in your mind know that mom and dad aren't going to be back for a while, and so you decide, hey, I can get away with this. And you don't keep the law of your mom and dad that they've put. That is not being a wise son. We want to make a glad father, right? And so in order to make a glad father, we've got to be a wise son, and a wise son is obedient. That means they obey mom and dad, happily, the first time. You know, obedience is just an outward expression of inward love. You see, the Word of God says about our Heavenly Father, he says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Obedience is an outward expression of an inward love. When we love mom and dad like we should, we will desire for them to be pleased, for them to be glad, and that will motivate obedience on our part. Sacrifice is no substitute for obedience. A wealthy businessman who was known for being ruthless, who was known for being of poor character, for mistreating people all for the sake of a dollar, he was up in years, and he actually was talking to Mark Twain. And he told Mark Twain that before I die, I desire to travel to the Holy Land. I want to climb to the top of Mount Sinai. And there, in that place where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, I want to read them aloud. What a magnificent thing it would be to be able to do that. And Mark Twain said, sir, I have something better for thee to do. would you stay right here in Boston and keep them? You don't have to travel to a faraway country and do some magnificent thing. Just be obedient. You want to make a glad father? Just be obedient. And we can talk about our heavenly father or your earthly father, either one. You want to make a glad father? Just do what you're told. Amen? Amen, Eli? Amen. Just do what you're told. That will make a glad father. That will show and display a wise son. By the way, the opposite is true. If we're not being obedient, that means we are not being wise. Do you desire to have a happy and a fulfilled life? How many of you young people desire to have a happy and a fulfilled life? Yeah, that's what you want. Well, Hudson Taylor, that great pioneering missionary, said this: the real secret of an unsatisfied life lies too often in an unsurrendered will. Half-hearted obedience satisfies neither us nor God. Half-hearted obedience satisfies neither us nor God. Do you know when you obey God half-heartedly? I believe that this is one of the reasons that there's a lot of Christians that are miserable, because they're living their life half-hearted, and God has called us to be second-mile Christians. We aren't even supposed to just be the letter of the law. We aren't even supposed to just fulfill the first mile. We find joy and satisfaction in the second mile when we go beyond what's expected. And you know that's the case as a young person when mom or dad tell you to do something and you half-hearted get through it and you just barely get it done. Mom says, clean your room, and you go in there and you just, you know, throw half of the stuff in the closet, the other half under the bread, under the bed. Hopefully there's no bread under there. And you just quickly just get by, and you're hoping mom and dad don't come by to check because you know you didn't do it right. And you're not happy with yourself, and you know mom and dad aren't going to be happy. And Christians are doing that to their Almighty Father. Half-hearted obedience satisfies neither you or your father. But you know, every one of you young people know it, when you do a good job, when you get in there and you get down on your hands and knees and you clean it up and you go above and beyond, I mean, you dusted everything and you wash the window and you put some air freshener in there, you're just waiting for dad to come home. He comes in and he sits down, and mom, she looks over and says, Timothy has something to show you. And I'm like, oh boy. What got broken now? What happened now? And then I am pleasantly surprised to find out that he went above and beyond. That's where we find joy, in obedience. Proverbs 10, verse 1, a wise son maketh a glad father. You want to be wise? Be obedient. Be obedient. Secondly, we want to make a glad father. What makes a wise son is be diligent. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. Charge. Proverbs chapter 10, Andrew.
He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathered in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame.
He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. He that becometh poor dealeth with a slack hand, but he that is diligent maketh rich. Be diligent. You know, every one of us should be a hard worker. Work is not part of the curse. Work was part of God's gift to mankind. He put him in the garden and he says, hey, you're going to keep the garden and you're going to, what's the word in Genesis? What does it say? Somebody help me. What does it say? Dress, right? He's to keep and dress the garden. That was before the curse. Work is what is a gift. It's what we're supposed to do, and we ought to be hard workers. Sheer laziness has probably been responsible for more inventions that we would care to give credit to, because we are so motivated by finding an easy way to get the job done. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with working smarter. I'm all about working smarter and doing twice as much. But the problem is we want to work smarter and do half as much. That's what laziness is. We want to work smarter so we don't have to do any work. Now there's nothing wrong with being efficient and finding a better way to do it. Today, this afternoon, we unloaded a trailer. It had 80-pound bags of concrete on it. So the boys and I and Pastor Derek, we unloaded this trailer. And we were getting down to the end, and Pastor Derek and I, being the leaders we are, said, "Young men, you need to finish this up. Got to get the rest of this trailer emptied here before tonight. Joe needs his trailer. And so we'll be back." So the kids looked at me, and they said, "Can we use the dolly?" I said, "Sure, it's fine with me. Go ahead, use the two-wheeler. I'm not against working smarter," but when they did that, I said, "You'll like tonight's message. It's just for you." Trying to find an easy way to do something. Listen, we ought to be hard workers. An example of the imagination which spurred out of outright lethargy is contained in the story of this elderly couple. This old farmer and his wife were sitting there one evening, and they had been sitting there in front of the fire for some time. And she says, looks over him and says, "Earl, I think it's raining outside. Why don't you stand up and go see if it's raining?" He's just staring at the fire there for a couple minutes. And he says, "Ma, we could just call the dog in and see if he's wet." Just finding a way to do it easier. Now, there's nothing wrong with finding a way to be more efficient. But young man, young lady, you need to develop a pattern of hard work in your life. It needs to be a way of life, working hard, jumping in, being a part, participating. Proverbs 18:9, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." A poor and unfinished job differs very little from a project that someone destroyed. Both projects are of little to no value. Be diligent. Abraham Lincoln said, "Every job is a portrait of the person who performed it." Autograph your work with excellence. Autograph your work with excellence. It ought to be a pattern and a way of life that you decide that you're going to be a hard worker. You say, "Man, it's hard." It is. But you just purpose in your heart, "You know what? If I'm known as anything, I'm going to be known as a hard worker. If anybody is going to say anything, I may not be the most skilled, I might not be the most efficient, I might not be the best at it, but nobody's going to say that I'm lazy." You ought to purpose in your heart, no matter what it is you're doing, that you be a hard worker. At this next week at camp, when you're out there, do you know that you can be lazy on the ball field? Just like you can be lazy at work? When it's time to get in there and be a part of it, you ought to play hard too. Get involved and be a part of what's going on and invest yourself and give yourself. You can be lazy on the ball field too and just kind of hang back and just wait, because running down there is a lot of work and I'm just going to wait down here. Now, I like our gymnasium because it's like about half the size of a normal gym and you don't have to run very far. But I didn't make the gym. I just get to enjoy it. But hey, when it's time to play, get in there and get involved. Work hard. Be diligent. Pick up after yourself. Pick up after yourself. A lazy man or woman or boy or girl will let it lie. Walk in the house and there they are. And there they stay until Sunday morning when it's time to leave. And then it's, "Mom, have you seen my shoes?" Mom's like, "I didn't wear them last." Come on now. This is preaching. In a few minutes, it's going to be fumigating. You throw that shoe back up here. Thank you. Hey. Pick up after yourself. This is to the young people. But your moms and dads will all appreciate it. Pick up after yourself. You carry a plate of food into your bedroom where you're not supposed to be eating in the first place. And you set it down there, and 4 weeks later, you've got an experiment growing in your room. If mom or dad did not come by and say, pick that up, how long would it stay there? Are you that much of a slob? Do you care that little about where you live that you would let it lie? Pick up after yourself. Put your shoes where they're supposed to go. Put your clothes where they're supposed to go. I mean, most of you have parents that wait on you just about hand and foot. All you got to do is get it into the hamper. It's going to get washed, ironed, and hung back up in your closet, you spoiled brat. If you're over the age of 9, I think you could do your own laundry, and mom can show you how to iron, and you could iron your own clothes. Some of you kids are like, no. You know what? This next week at camp, if you guys didn't have camp check every night, every morning, do you know what your cabins would look like by the end of the week? You know what they would smell like? But these things ought not to be. Because you ought to have some character. And you ought to say, it doesn't matter. I don't answer for everybody else in the cabin. But I answer for me. And my stuff's going to get put back in my suitcase where it's supposed to be. My stuff is going to be sitting under. Do you know why you come home with half as many clothes as you went with? Do you know why? Because you don't pick up after yourself. Now, I'm trying to help you, and I'm being real practical. But you need to. You want to make a glad father? Be diligent. Be diligent. Be a hard worker. Some of you are so lazy that if your mom did not set the food in front of you, you wouldn't eat. Because you won't get up and make yourself a meal. I mean, you'll grab a Pop-Tart, but you wouldn't make yourself food. You wouldn't prepare something. And if you prepare something, you certainly aren't taking care of the dishes. You certainly aren't cleaning up when you're done. I mean, I made myself a sandwich. That's good enough. The mayonnaise should stay right on the counter, and the meat should stay on the counter, and the silverware drawer should stay open, and the cupboard where the plates were should stay open, because, I mean, after all, I went to the effort to make myself a sandwich. Right? No. Picking up after yourself is all those things. Putting the mayonnaise back in the fridge. Now I need to move on. Be diligent. If you want to be a wise son, if you want to make a glad father, let's look on. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 1. Charge. Wow. Eli.
A wise son hears his father's instructions, but his scorner hears not.
A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. He hears instruction. Be intelligent. Be teachable. Be teachable. Be teachable. You know what? These boys over here don't have this problem yet. These young ladies back here probably don't have this problem. But I can guarantee you it's starting to creep into his heart. What's your name?
Jameson.
Now, he's not the only one. There's a whole line of boys right here that is creeping into too. Why? Because we start to think we know how to do everything. We start to think we know it all. Be teachable. Dad was not born yesterday, and he was not born in the Stone Age. I know you think he was born so long ago he has no comprehension of life today, but that's not true. You know, when I was a teenager, I was big stuff because I got a three-button suit. Because three-button suits were in. And Dad didn't know anything about three-button suits. Now, those of you that are older, No, the three-button suits had already come around and left and came back. But me, no, look, Dad, this is how it's supposed to look, right? Because I'm in. You don't know anything about modern styles, Dad. Listen, you wear your skinny jeans, they're going to go away. They're going to disappear, and we'll be back to bell bottoms. You know what? I would not have a beard right now if for no other reason than the fact that it's popular right now. It's the fad to have a beard. So I would not, I mean, there's nothing sinful about having a beard. You can have a beard. But I would not grow one right now for no other reason than the fact that it's what people in the world are doing. And I don't want to be like that. I don't know where that came from. We're supposed to be on Be Teachable. Oh, what we're talking about is Dad's been around the block. What I'm saying is Dad knows a whole lot more than you think he does. You think he doesn't understand, but he does understand. He doesn't know your world and what you're dealing with, but he knows a lot more than you think. Proverbs 8:33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Proverbs 15:32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. You want to just shoot yourself? You want to just shoot yourself in the foot? When Dad starts talking, go, I know, I know. Dad hasn't even told you what you're supposed to do yet, and you're saying you know. I know. What do you know? How many of you had your parents do that to you? You're not going to raise your hands. I've done it to my kids. I'm like, okay, what do you know? They didn't even wait for me to finish telling them what they were supposed to do. Because they know it all. Do you know what a scorner is? Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. You know what a scorner is? The simple definition is somebody that laughs and mocks at authority. Laughs at sin and mocks the authority. Do you laugh at your dad? Because he's old and bald? Do you laugh because he doesn't know what you know? He doesn't understand what you understand? I mean, he can't even figure out how to get his phone unlocked. I have to do it for him. Whatever it might be, you mock the authority. That's what a scorner is. But a wise son heareth his father's instruction. Do you know what the opposite of a scorner is? The opposite of a scorner is to praise. The opposite of to scorn is to praise. What you ought to be doing as a wise son is you ought to be praising your dad. You ought to be praising your mom for what they've done and for what they know and for what they've taught you. And if by the mercy and the grace of God you make it to about 25 years old and don't kill yourself or destroy your life, you'll start to realize all the stuff that they taught you. And you'll start to be thankful for it. And you will start to praise them. But I want to encourage you to do it right now. Do it right now. A fool, Proverbs 15, verse number 5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that guardeth reproof is prudent. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. Who are you, young man, young lady, to despise your father's instruction? You know you're despising your father's instruction when your father comes over and says, here, let me tell you how to do that. And you're like, oh, I know how to do it. Or you just begrudgingly put up with him and let him talk and you're not even paying attention or listening. You're just letting him talk so that you can get on and do what you want to do. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. Your father has been through so much that you can't even begin to comprehend. You think you have the world by the seat of your pants. No, you know what I meant. You think you've got it all under control. And what I'm saying is if by the grace of God and his mercy, you don't just completely destroy your life, one day you'll realize how much dad had, how much mom had, and how thankful you are for them. You want to make a glad father? Be teachable. Let him teach you. Hear his instructions. Listen for them. Take it in. Hey, a wise son maketh a glad father. Just like you ought to desire to hear what your mom and dad want to instruct you and how they want to teach you and how they want to help you. Every believer in here ought to look to our Heavenly Father and want to hear his instructions. Want to know what he wants us to do. Want to desire to be taught by him and instructed by him. When you're not teachable, you're saying, I know it already. I know it all already. You want to know if you're teachable? From the youngest person in here to the oldest person in here. I'm almost done. I'll be done in 2 minutes or three. From the youngest person in here to the oldest person, do you want to know if you're teachable? We should never grow beyond being teachable. If you want to know you're teachable, do you ask questions? Do you ask questions? Do you find that you ask questions of others? No, you don't, because you know it all already. Do you value others' opinions and others' ideas? Do you admit when you're wrong? Do you listen more than you speak? If you're teachable, you will not bristle at correction or make excuses when you fall short. Are you teachable? We all ought to be teachable. There's some questions that help you to discern in your mind, am I teachable? How do you line up with those? You want to make a glad father? I want to make my Heavenly Father glad, and I want to make my earthly father glad. Proverbs 23, verse number 15. Charge. We'll let Melanie. Melanie's got it. She didn't stand up, but she had it. Go ahead, Melanie. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice. You want to make a glad father? Have a wise heart. What makes a wise heart? I've just given you a list of the things in the book of Proverbs that tell us about a wise son. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Are you bringing joy to your father? I hope you are. I hope you are. The opposite of a wise man is what? A foolish man. Proverbs 17:25 says, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. So there's your choices. You say, oh no, I'm going to be right in the middle. No. Either you're wise or you're foolish. A wise son is going to be the things that we talked about tonight, and a foolish son is going to be grief to his father and bitterness to her that bore him. I hope you desire tonight to be a wise son, that you might make a glad father.